Let us turn to the New Testament in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. We'll read from verse 42, the parable of the faithful steward. Actually, verse 41. Luke 12, verse 41. Let us hear the word of God. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. And if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to us all. You've noticed that Peter is, so to speak, introducing or we may say, provoking the Lord to say this parable with his question. Peter is referring to the previous parable that the Lord has just spoken and we have seen a few weeks ago. That was the parable of the servants who were ready, waiting for their Lord to come. And this, in verse 37, Jesus was describing these good servants as those who were watching. And when the Lord has come, He is saying, He will even make them to sit down and meet, and will come forth and serve them. These servants are called blessed in verse 38. So that parable was indeed to press on the disciples the need to be ready and watch when the Son of Man would come, because no one did know when He would come. And if you remember the context of it all, it was that the Lord was telling His disciples, those who were among them following the Lord with many parables, but especially here, to not be worried about the future, not be worried about temporal things. But verse 31, you remember, rather seek ye the kingdom of God first. Jesus is setting the priorities here. Not that we are not to think about clothing and food, but rather to think first to the things of God. And set these things first, for sure, in your own life. That was the reason for the previous parable. And so here Peter then is coming to the Lord and asking this question. Well, that's how his mind is going. You see, he says he's looking maybe at many people gathered around Christ, and among whom there are the Pharisees who were opposing the Lord. And so Peter at one point is perhaps doing what we often do when we hear a sermon. We look at others and we think, oh, that's for him. Oh, that's very good for her. Oh, he should have listened to this. And so on. And I see Peter here actually going to the Lord and scratching his head and thinking, because he was hearing about servanthood and being ready, and he's perhaps forgetting his own self, and he's asking the Lord, Lord, are you really saying this for us or for all? Well, the Lord isn't replying directly to Peter, but it is quite clear that the way the Lord is replying with this parable, comparing a faithful steward to an unfaithful steward, it is quite clear that the Lord is really answering to Peter, well, this is for all. You are included in all this, Peter. Because listen, there is a faithful steward. So I'd really like to divide this as usual with three main points. And let us look first of all at this duty of the steward, and we'll look at together what is a steward shortly, in a short time. So first of all, the duty of the steward, then the happiness of the steward, but also then lastly about the punishment of the toward the steward. So the Lord begins describing someone who is a steward, described as faithful and wise. Who is a faithful and a wise steward? Well, first of all, a steward, you may ask, who is he? Who were steward of the house in those times? The steward was, yes, a servant, but he was more than an ordinary servant. He was like a master of a house. He was what we may call today a manager, someone who was making sure that all things were done properly in that house. He was directing and providing for all other servants. He would manage and distribute the food and organizing all the provision for that house. He had a very important job in a big house. Of a master's house. He was acting probably like an agent in our days. He was acting in place of the master regarding that specific task of running the business of the house. That was the steward. So the Lord says, here is a faithful and wise steward. And it is clear at the end of verse 42, you see, this wise steward is managing the household and is giving portion of meat in due season. He is doing his job well. And it is so easy and immediate to apply this for the disciples. And for us in the Church of Christ, to those who are in charge of others, like the disciples, who would shortly be in that position. And for the ministers of the Church of God here in our times, for those who the Apostle Paul will actually call specifically as stewards of the mysteries of God. This is how Paul calls the ministers and the preacher of the gospel in 1 Corinthians, ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see, the Apostle Paul is picking up this concept again of being stewards, managing faithfully the things of God. But we may apply and extend this not only to ministers, but also obviously to those who serve in the Church of God, elders and deacons, and in a wider sense to all true disciples of Christ. The Apostle Paul, again, when he was writing to the Galatians, he would say this to believers: as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. There's a duty among true believers to do good to one another. Or in 1 Peter we read, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good steward of the manifold grace of God. You see, dear Christian, every one of us, whatever position or gift you have in the Church of God, you are made a steward of the manifold grace of God. You are to handle this. You are to be wise and faithful and work according to God's will and be found faithful. You are a steward. And we may even extend this more, because yes, we can speak of the disciples, of the ministers, or of all believers, but what about everyone else? What about every man who don't even acknowledge God? But well, even they, in a sense, are steward. The man who don't consider God and says, well, I don't believe he is there. Well, yet he is foolish in his thinking, because all he does, all he achieves, it is God-given. That's the foolishness of the unbeliever. Because all of us, indeed, up to a point, are made in His image. We are given His life and His breath and the life that we have, although we didn't recognize Him as God, which is bad enough already. But so even if you down in your mind you may say this morning, oh well, I'm not a member in the church, oh well, I'm not a minister, I'm not an elder, I can hide in a corner. Well, are you really doing this? Because in a general sense, you are a steward of God's common grace, of all the things that you have received. You may be born in a Christian family, you have been given a nice house, your parents are, if you are a child, your parents are providing for you so many good things. You are maybe clever at school, you are maybe receiving so many good things, and you are enjoying lots of holidays. Well, this is all God's given. It is a grace of God to you. That's your duty, to use all these things to acknowledge these are from God, and that you are a steward. You are required to be faithful and wise in what you do. We have a few examples looking at a church especially, where faithful servants were living and waiting for their master to come. We have an example in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. These believers in Thessalonica, we are told how they were living. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 1. This is how Paul is encouraging them. Brethren, I beseech you, we beseech you, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And also further on in chapter 3, verse 6, I'll just read you a few verses here, because it's describing well, verse 6 of chapter 3. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which we received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any should, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. See what these Thessalonians were encouraged to remember, to keep on working and being faithful in all they were doing, and not be shaken nor troubled if someone would have told them, well, the Lord will not come. All your faith is all rubbish. Just live your life and forget about God. Are you sure the Lord will come back again? Oh no. These faithful servants of God, they were firm, not shaken. They were beseeched by Paul to do this and to live diligently their life with faithfulness. Look at what the Lord is writing to the churches in the Revelation. The people of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. We all remember this very well. And this is the great warning to these servants of God, not to be lukewarm, not pretending that all was well and they could live their own lives as if nothing was going to happen. Chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There's the duty of one of the true servants of Christ, to fear lukewarmness, to repent of this and being zealous. Lukewarmness is an horrible thing. And the Lord says, I know your works, I know what you are doing, how you are like. And you are neither cold nor hot. But the true faithful servant, wise, that the Lord is describing in this parable, is exactly this. Faithful labors, laboring for the kingdom of God, wise in all his doing, and concerned for the church of Christ. May you realize which is your position, and if there is any need for repentance, and to be called indeed faithful and wise. For you are a steward in the house of God. So this is the duty of the faithful steward. But what about the happiness? Because this is so called by the Lord in verse 43. The Lord says, blessed is that servant. Because when the Lord will come, that's what he will be doing. The faithful servant of Christ will be actively living for Christ and for God, trusting him, not bothering about what he shall drink or eat or clothe, but seeking first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added. This kind of servant is really the happiest one and the blessed one. And we find this again described so well in the book of Revelation. At the end of times, when the Lord will come with all his glory, this is what we read. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watch and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The whole point is this. The true faithful servant is longing for his Lord's coming. And all his life, although there might be deviations or falling or difficulties, all his mind and heart is focused on this great day of his master's return. That will be the time and the point in time, in history, where his happiness will be at the fullest. You see in verse 44, this kind of servant, it is obviously someone who is content to serve him even in small things here as he is waiting for his master. He is faithful in few. He had been humble enough to accept and serve his master in what he has been given to do in his own sphere of duty. Because when his master comes, he says, I will make you ruler over all that I have. There's much more when he, the great master, will come. And their happiness will be complete and full. These true faithful stewards are the object of the master's concern and favor. He is caring for them. And he's longing to come to take them home and to give them the joy of ruling over all that he has. This wise steward are faithful and working at this time while they are waiting with faith, and they labor in small things. They are faithful in all that they have been given to do. Notice what the Apostle Paul, as a faithful steward of his master, is even declaring at the point of his death. In 2 Timothy, he says, you remember in chapter 4, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You see the characteristic of these stewards. They love his appearing. It is a fight. It is a good fight here on earth. But these stewards die in faith and in confidence that at the Lord's appearing, that at the Lord's meeting with them, he will be the righteous judge, the one who will crown them with righteousness. Brethren, is this the joy and the love of your living? Are you maybe in need to focus again your priorities and your desires, so to see and long to embrace your Master as he comes again? Why are you laboring here on earth? Are you his servant and steward? Are you doing all your things out of love for him? Is your heart's desire to see him again and hear his voice and rewarding faithfully all your works done in love for him? This is the blessing of the true faithful steward. This is their happiness. And thirdly and lastly, there is a punishment described as well in this parable from verse 45. Because this is clearly a comparison between two kinds of steward. There is, Jesus says, the possibility that one servant may say in his heart something else. There is an evil thinking in some of these stewards. In this other example of servant and steward. And he says in his heart, notice, this man is not living, he's not doing one mistake. He's not fallen and mistaken about something for which he is sorry. But this servant, this steward, is an evil steward. He says in his heart, he plans this kind of attitude. He's not telling anyone, and perhaps not many realize at first, but he says in his heart, as if God was not there. That's evil. And he is unfaithful. He is unfaithful so much as noticing to be beating his fellow servants and the maidens. And he is enjoying his whole time eating and drinking and taking advantage of others and be drunken and using the things of his own master for his own pleasure. He is not even believing truly that this master will come. And he will be surprised at the return of his master. And he will be trembling, because he will receive a very harsh judgment. Many have lived in such a way. You go back into the Old Testament in Numbers, read number chapter 16, and you will see how some of the tribes in Israel rebelled against Moses. They had such evil thinkings. They pretended to be better. They thought Moses was no use. They didn't like him anymore. And God was wroth with them. God showed there at that time in Israel directly and clearly what it will be shown one day when Christ will return and he will judge. And as we read in this expression, which is really terrible, verse 46, when the Lord will come, the master of the house will come back, we are told, we'll cut him asunder, we'll cut him in pieces, and we'll appoint him the portion with unbelievers. This was a false servant, a wicked steward. These men, as I was explaining, these men in Israel, these tribes in this where you find in number 16, were judged by the Lord and swallowed up in the earth. Perhaps a terrible earthquake did come. We are just told that the earth opened and these people were swallowed up into the earth with their houses, with their belongings, and that's how God judged them and destroyed them away from Israel, because of their wickedness, because of their rebellion, because of what they were thinking in their hearts, pretending to be better steward, but for their own pleasure. So this is the end of this parable, with the description of this servant. Is indeed a warning to all true disciples, to all those who truly desire to serve the Lord. But also it is a call to repentance for all of you who perhaps are not sure, who perhaps are halting between two positions, who perhaps have even evil thoughts in their minds about appearing stewards of God, but indeed being far away with your heart. There is a serious warning in the last few verses of the parable that we have read. Because all those who have received a lot, all those like us who have been receiving the word of God and the message of the gospel and who God is and what He has done, are indeed in a very privileged position. You cannot run away, my friend, from these things. You have heard. You have not been born. None of us have been born in a remote place, in a jungle, somewhere, where there is no translation in their language of the word of God. None of us can say this. None of us can claim ignorance about the truth and the God of heaven and the Creator of all and the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and explained this parable. Friends, be wise and do not refuse the Lord Jesus and His mercy toward you, as He is describing this parable, and He is, like Peter may have thought, well, this is not really for me. But the Lord is describing this parable, unfolding this parable to Peter and to us all, so that you may know that you are included. You are responsible. You are accountable to do what God has given you with faithfulness and wisdom. In John chapter 15, there are repeated words that are very similar. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ, when He has already in chapter 15 described of being the true vine, and who are the true disciples, and who are those who are indeed saved. In verse 22 we read this, John 15:22. He's rebuking those who are not believing in Him. And He says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now, they have no cloak for their sin. Friend, do you have an excuse Do you have a good excuse for your sin before God? If the Lord will come today, will you be able to say, I didn't know you were coming? Will you be able to hide somewhere? If you don't hide today under Christ's mercy and offer of salvation, you will be under the description of this punishment. You will be torn asunder, separated from God forever. And you will actually lose the joy and the blessedness of being one of His children and one of His steward here on earth until the Lord will come.